Welcome everyone to our midweek episode of Championship Drill, kind of a shortened down version of our usual weekly show where we just have a quick look back at the midweek games, joined as always with Jerry and Phil here. You guys good?
Where are we? How are you doing?
Come on, Barnsley. Come on, Barnsley.
Enjoyed the games midweek, I suppose.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff.
Excellent. We're going to start, I suppose, with what Jerry shouted out there. Come on, Barnsley. We're going to start
there.
Come
on, Barnsley.
With a 3-0 win for Barnsley. Well deserved, really, this one. Yeah.
QPR looked atrocious.
Yeah.
They were poor. Again, it's one we're going to come to it a couple of times in today's show where the red card changed the game. Dickie sent off for a foul on Woodrow.
Yeah.
It was the manager didn't make the same thing. It was tough. It was a harsh red card.
Yeah.
Definitely a game changer.
Yeah, it wasn't great. I mean, Woodrow scored again. He's, you know, got a few goals for Barnsley already this season. Chaplin with another one, and then a hilarious own goal from Barbet, really, that he's not going to want to look back on too often.
Yeah, that was funny.
I still don't know what he was doing.
But Barnsley are now level with QPR as well.
Barnsley level with QPR, move ahead of them on goal difference in the table.
They've been impressive the last couple of games with the draws and obviously the win now against QPR. They're actually on the mend, I think. When the whispers were going around about Big Mick coming in, I think they said, look, we have to start playing.
Yeah.
And we spoke about the new manager and the show at the weekend, so it's good to see him get off to a good start, and I suppose he couldn't have wished for a better start, really, than a 3-0 home win.
Yeah.
So we'll have a look ahead to see what Barnsley have coming up at the end of this show. But it's a good win for Barnsley. Well deserved, I suppose, and they're on the up, as Jerry said. So
very dominant.
Then we come to one of the games of midweek. Really, was Blackburn 2, Reading 4. I mean, we were talking about
Elliot was really good in this game.
Elliot played well. I mean, it was a good game. I mean, 4-2. You can't say Reading dominated the game. It was even enough. They just took their chances.
Yeah,
and I think if you look at the stats, I think Reading had 4 shots on target, 4 goals.
Yeah, isn't it something like 8 goals in their last 11 shots on target?
Yeah, it's crazy efficiency in front of goal for Reading. Yeah. It was a really quick start. I remember talking to you online as the goals were kind of firing in.
9 seconds it took for the first goal.
Yeah, Mitey got the goal inside the first minute. Then Armstrong was level for Blackburn within 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Then Olasi and Laurent gave Reading a 3-1 lead, and there was only 18 minutes gone.
Yeah.
Armstrong again with a goal for Blackburn, flying at the season. And it was, could have went anywhere.
Yeah.
And Joe then at the end.
Yeah.
We'll give them their 4-2 win. We said it was going to be a test when they played Watford around the international break, and they came through that. And we said this would be a test away to Blackburn, and they've come through this.
Yeah.
Reading flying it, 7 wins and a draw. Which is their best start, I found out, to a season since the 1985-86 season. Amazing. When they won their first 8 games in what was the old third division.
Yeah, I say very strong.
Great club. And I think they're going to be thereabouts, as I think we said last show. They should definitely get a top 2 finish, but they look good. Armstrong with Blackburn, he's an absolute baller, lads. 23 years old.
Yeah.
I think this guy, reminds me of... a couple of the Leeds lads back in the day, like where they all kind of
Chris Sutton.
He's really good, lads. I think he's definitely Premier League. He started off his career at Newcastle, but I think he's definitely going to be a Premier League baller in the next 2 years or so.
He has to be. I mean, he can do everything. He scored a great header in the game. He's really good at running off the last defender. He's quite quick. He's well able to finish.
He knows the game.
Wasn't it similar to what's that guy's name again? That was with. With Blackburn as well. What's his name? The guy they said that would be the next Alan Shearer.
Oh, I can't remember.
You know the guy I'm on about?
John Stead.
Yeah, no, not John Stead.
The guy that broke his leg, was it? And
yeah, I think so, yeah.
He broke his leg and couldn't play. His career kind of went downhill after that.
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but he was similar to him.
Similar, yeah. I suppose Blackburn need to find a bit of consistency because they seem to hammer a team and then lose. So
they're scoring the goals though, that's encouraging. Yeah. I think it's just that defence is the goal difference,
I thought Semedo in the middle of the park for Reading as well was outstanding.
Fantastic.
And Joe as well, Armstrong, like, is the leading scorer in the league. Joe with 8 goals now in 8 games as well for Reading.
Yeah.
So both teams can score goals.
Yeah,
yeah.
Agree.
We move on then to a strange game. This one, Brentford 1, Norwich 1. Tony, 100th goal of his career already, gave Brentford the lead. McLean, which, you know, I'm even dubious giving that goal to McLean with the size of the deflection.
That was definitely an OG.
But I suppose it counts for McLean because the original shot was going on target, even if it was going completely the opposite direction.
Norwich lads are lucky. Tim Krul is there, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
We were on about Tony the last show, like 100 goals in English football. Like, he's really stepped up, you know what I mean, since Benarama left, you know. And obviously Adam Oida was, you know, he's suspended, but like Pookie should still be doing a lot more for Norwich. You know, it's even Tony stands out this season for me already.
He's absolutely. He's like we said, he didn't score in his first couple of games and he didn't score in the League Cup. And, you know, it was like, was the pressure getting to him? And then once he got that first goal from the spot, he's just taken off.
Yeah, savage.
But in terms of this game, like, Norwich probably should have been in front before Brentford scored.
Yeah.
But once Brentford scored, they had so, so many chances.
Yeah.
And it's a case, as we'll see again in a lot of games this weekend, Brentford just could not get 2-0 up and they were caught at the end because of that.
Yeah. They're showing signs, lads. They're showing signs of, like, you know, a small decline. I think they've dropped down to like 10th or 11th in the table. Yeah. Now, it is early days, but it just seems like since they've lost one or two key players, they have kind of dipped off a bit. Obviously, we're seeing Watford get stronger and stuff, but it's interesting. I think Brentford could be in a bit of trouble. I don't think they're going to be in big trouble, but I think they might not make the playoffs if they don't wake up, you know?
Yeah,
they need a bit more consistency. I mean, they've been a bit up and down, but they're still only 3 points off the playoffs, so they'll be hoping they can especially get the turn these games into wins when they're on top. They just need to start getting second goals in matches, which they haven't done enough this season.
It's scary. Like you say, 8 games in now, lads, and like Blackburn and Brentford were flying, but now they find themselves in 12th and 13th, I think.
Yeah.
It just goes to show like how grueling and how long that season is in the Championship.
And the thing about Norwich as well is like they could play crap for 89 minutes and still get something.
Yeah,
that's it. They've got those players that can do something. We move on then to Middlesbrough against Coventry, and Issam Belonga and Spence with the goals in the last 10 minutes for Borough in a game they absolutely dominated from start to finish.
Yeah, Coventry were poor.
Coventry slip into the relegation zones now after this one. They move below Derby on goal difference.
I think that's Issam Belonga's first goal this year.
Yeah.
In 2020.
He's not scored in a long time.
Isn't it? Doesn't he also beat like Viduka's record or something?
Something along them lines, yeah. It's worrying though for Coventry because this is the worst they've played all season.
Yeah, they didn't even look like they could create chances yesterday.
Yeah, and I mean they still gave it a go. They just, like you said, they couldn't break down for it all, and they're always going to give it a go. We know that with Coventry, that's just how they play.
Yeah,
yeah.
But very one-sided match.
I think Barrow now look like they're on form, right?
They do a decent run of form.
Yeah,
point off the playoffs.
I think they'll just be short, lads. I think
the thing is, if as Aubameyang starts scoring goals, he's not bad. He's not bad.
No.
Once he's getting like, didn't they pay a huge fee for him?
Yeah,
they did. They did, and like if they can get him scoring goals, I mean, maybe it'll be a case of like Tony. This one now will get him going.
Yeah,
because he took it well, to be fair.
Did you?
But yeah, Borough point off playoffs. Jerry, you reckon they're going to struggle to make playoffs come the end of the season?
I look at the squad. Obviously, there's a good squad there, but I think they're going to be 7th or 8th. Like, you know, I know Pat Roberts is there. Spence obviously scored. You know, I think they're just going to be off the lads. I think a bit of investment, they'll be back, but I think this season they might just miss that top six. Not by much, but they will just miss it.
Yeah.
Christmas period. I mean,
there's a lot of good teams that are going to be going to the playoffs, and they all can't make it. So that's just the way it is. We move on to another game that was probably even more one-sided. Swansea, 2-0 against Stoke. Fulton and Palmer for Swansea. Could have been about 6-7-0.
Yeah.
I mean, Stoke were just outplayed from minute one.
Yeah.
I think the manager said it afterwards. They were just poor.
Yeah, they looked burned out.
You know, they've had a few great results in the last few weeks, but Swansea just destroyed them today. And Swansea starting to, you know, put a bit of form together now again as well.
They'll always have it. Swansea were a club that will always have that factor. Like, I was looking at Stephen Fletcher on the bench. That was a strange one. It goes, as you said, Phil, tired. Nick Powell on the bench. Yeah. Not encouraging, do you know what I mean? It's obviously Obi Mikel start, but like Sam Vokes up front with Jacob Brown, you know that's coming back up, you know?
Yeah, and it's, you know, there's not a whole lot really to say about this match. Swansea just deserved the win. They got the win. Yeah. They missed chances against Swansea, which they're again kind of like Brentford. They can't keep doing that because another team playing better might have caught them.
Yeah, I think McLean was kind of playing in the back road as well. I think he was kind of defensive midfielder. Like, you know, it's McLean's a lad that goes up the wing, you know. He was out of position.
Yeah, there was a hilarious moment for who was it that came on for Stoke to make his debut on goal? I can't remember kid's name. But there was that hilarious moment when he handled the back pass because he kind of fell over on top of the ball and it was played back.
I remember that.
You know, so a bit of fun. That's something that's going to be played again and again and again, I'd say, in his career.
Yeah.
We move on then to Wickham's first point of the season.
Come on, Wickham.
Very unlucky. Very unlucky. Very unlucky. Yeah, they should have won.
Another great game, really. I mean, both sides had chances. You said Akin Fenwa missed a great first half chance for Wickham, and Murray Royd at the end nearly gave Watford another what would have been a heartbreaking defeat for Wickham that they wouldn't have deserved.
I
think Wickham are on the up, lads. I think there's going to be a lot more. They've been a lot more steadier the last 2-3 games. Like, they haven't really been trash. There was one or two results, but I think Wickham will definitely get a result or two in the next 4 games.
But the decisions that are going against them is scandalous.
Yeah, and Daryl Horgan, I'm telling you, lads, Daryl Horgan is playing. He's grafting hair for Wickham. Obviously, Watford are an informed side, but yeah, I think with the big man back, obviously he missed a big chance, but I think they will get a result. I think they might get 2 wins in the next 4.
Yeah.
I mean, that corner
could build it.
I mean, it's the second time they've had goal disallowed from a corner.
Yeah.
The first time there was the tug on the goalkeeper's glove or whatever it was.
Yeah.
This time I couldn't see anything, and I don't think anyone could see anything.
Yeah. I don't know.
You know, they deserved the win, and like we said, it would have been just their luck if Murray had put that one away that he dragged wide at the end. But Sarr with the goal for Watford, great cross, wonderful finish. Stewart with the equaliser for Wickham.
A massive game at the weekend against Sheffield Wednesday.
Huge. And I think what we've seen in Wickham, especially in this game, they didn't give the ball away as much as they have been in the first few games, so they're not constantly under pressure.
Yeah.
Like you said, Gerry Horgan played really, really well for them. He was very dangerous.
Grafting hard. I was on about that time he moved to Wickham. It was a great move because when he dropped to Scotland, a lot of people were saying, look, he might go back to Dundalk. But, like, you know, getting that move to Wickham was pretty good. And he's grafting hard, lads. Like, he's really putting in them you know, performances. Even though they're not getting the results, he's definitely standing out. What's there?
Yeah.
He is. And he's starting to hit that form he had in the League of Ireland, which is only good news for Wickham. Cashkid as well. Cashkid as well for them was very good again.
Yeah,
and he looks one hell of a player. And Akin Fenwa, it was his first start since February, since he had his knee surgery and that, so it was good to see him back. And he does make a difference up front because he's so hard to mark.
Yeah.
He's the guy that will lift the club, lads. He's got that swagger about him. He will absolutely lift the club, you know?
Yeah.
So we move on then to Wednesday's games. Preston 0, Millwall 2. Preston again. No 10 surprise. Points away from home for Preston. Yeah. 0 no points surprise. At home for Preston.
Yeah, no surprise. Millwall are on the off, so I'm not surprised, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, Zahor and a penalty from Wallace. The thing about Millwall, though, not only was the manager now down with COVID, the first team coaches are down with COVID. So you had Kevin Nugent, who's the under-23s manager, the player coach Sean Williams, and Alex Pearce were in charge of Millwall.
Yeah.
Preston. Their whole bench, basically, is down with COVID at the moment.
And they're into fourth. They moved into fourth as well, Millwall.
They moved into fourth, unbeaten in 4 games. Yeah. Preston, though, just what is it? Why can't they play at home,
lads? You could get a manager sacked, you know. If you're winning games away from home and not winning games at home, first of all, he's lucky that the fans aren't in the stadium. But I always said, he's a great manager.
Yeah,
you need to find that balance. That's enough to get a manager sacked.
Yeah,
it is. When you think, like, their away form is what, 3 wins and a draw.
Yeah,
and 4 defeats at home.
Yeah, it's shocking.
It's crazy.
But the thing is, what was their lineup like? Did they play like Alan Brown again in out of position?
They kind of. I think he stayed with the same lineup they won at the weekend. Yeah. I don't think he made any changes, but it was. I don't know. There's just something at home. They don't seem to create the chances at home, or what it is. I don't know.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
And that's going to be at their back. They're playing at home again, I think, at the weekend. So. Yeah. It's you know McGuire, it gets worrying the longer it goes on.
More star from McGuire. It's
no.
You know what I mean? It's we've seen a lot of Irish lads go over to Preston. He's the last remaining one, really. Like you know.
Yeah.
A lot come home. Like, but Brad Potts should be doing a lot better. Like Scott Sinclair, lads. He's experienced. You know, Man City, Celtic. Yeah. He does score. Alan Brown, obviously playing midfield again.
Yeah.
Could have defensive midfield. Yeah. You know what I mean? Brownie got two goals. I think it was his last game. You know. Why move him kind of back into defensive midfield again? Like it doesn't make sense.
No, it's a strange one, and we'll see how they get on out home the weekend. But
the thing is, as well, they created no chances.
Not very little. I mean, very little, and they're just not doing anything at home.
Yeah.
So we'll be worrying. We'll move on then to and the late winner here for Bournemouth, 1-0 against the Bristol City, and Juma with the goal.
They were very lucky.
Bournemouth up to second.
Yeah.
Sounds about
very unfair result.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was a game of two halves again. I think Bristol should have been 3-0 at half time.
Yeah, definitely.
But
yeah.
Second half, I think Stanislas and Solanke came into the game for Bournemouth.
Yeah.
And Dan Juma eventually got the winner. So Bournemouth could have been 2-0 before they eventually got the winner as well.
Yeah.
But Bristol, it's worrying now. Again, we talked about it the weekend. Yeah. They won their first four before the international break. They've drawn two and lost two since the international break and moved down into sixth place now.
Yeah. Tire team, lads. You know, there's definitely a bit of depth in the squad. Like, obviously, Callum O'Dowda's back. He's kind of fit. But, yeah, Bournemouth lads are definitely on the up. I think they're definitely coming up. Like, they still have a strong team. Yeah. Dan Gosling, Lewis Cook, you know, Solanke, Joshua King, Jack Stacey. Yeah. I think Bournemouth would be very hard to beat. And, you know, I think they're a team that will definitely be up. Very unlucky to come down, but they'll be a team. Good manager, but like Bristol are looking a bit tired, you know what I mean? And I think, you know, we were saying Bristol might end up in that top six. Yet again, they could be like Middlesbrough. They'll just fall apart at that last hurdle.
They definitely need a win. They haven't won in four now, so
they're the kind of team that could win eight games on the trot, though.
Yeah.
We move on to a good win here for Birmingham, 2-1 over Huddersfield. Gardner with the last-minute winner. Gardner for Birmingham, first goal, last-minute winner by Jukowicz for Birmingham. And Benza scored in the 85th minute. Huddersfield probably thought we've got a draw out of this.
Yeah.
Very little chances, really.
Yeah. Lads. He's a guy I've been on about for a while. How Birmingham City signed him is beyond me. This guy was a let it go Bilbao legend. He's still young. Obviously went to Birmingham. Couldn't believe it. Had to double check. I said to you a while back, when he starts, do you know what I mean? He'll make a difference. He's in the team. Obviously Scott Hogan's up front on his own. It's great result for Birmingham. They're a team I love. And they were lucky. Huddersfield were kind of on a bit of a run. But it's great to see Birmingham get that win. No, they need to maintain it. Do you know what I mean? It's Gary Garner is around a long time, lads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember him in the Premier League sticker book, you know? Balding or someone, but he was there anyway. But like it's great win for Birmingham. It could have gone either way, to be honest.
And Birmingham now it's the first time they've scored two goals this season, but it's the first time they've scored since October 4th.
Yeah.
Huddersfield did what they wanted to do, I suppose. They dominated possession. Birmingham sat back, tried to hit him on the break, and the tactics worked. Birmingham got the win. They were able to defend well and hit them on the break when it mattered.
Shrill.
A draw on this one as well. Derby won, Cardiff won. Derby again with a crack over free kicks.
Score freeze. Oh, Derby.
Rooney will be back at the weekend. Who takes the first free kick for Derby? Waghorn's taken two in a week and scored them both.
Step back, Wayne Rooney.
Yeah.
You know, Derby. So it's... Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Ojo,
good assist for the Moore goal. Wilson wasn't playing for Cardiff.
Injured.
They missed him, but maybe he's injured. Maybe they were just resting him a bit because, again, you know, how many games are coming thick and fast. Cardiff stay undefeated away from home, though.
Yeah.
And Derby haven't won a home game in 7 matches, which goes back to June.
I'm surprised he's still there. I am honestly surprised he's still there.
Yeah, I know. I know, but he's
on about it all the time that he should be. He's on his way out.
Yeah, but he never seems to go on. Again, they're a team that could go on a run, Derby. You just don't know.
Yeah.
Coventry's result, though, means Derby do move out of the bottom three.
Yeah.
But Cardiff, they seem to miss Wilson a bit going forward. There was no real invention in their play other than the Ojo pass to set up the Kiefer Moore goal.
Yeah. I see another Liverpool player doing well.
Ojo, yeah. Yeah, he's been in good form for them as well. Move on to another draw, Luton versus Forest. Very, very scrappy. Yeah. Hughton's undefeated since he's been there. They're 20 now and 6 points. Luton, though, move up to 9th with their win just outside the playoffs. Ray scored both goals, of course, for Luton, and then scored an own goal to get Forest leader. But Ayanu got sent off for a dangerous tackle. It was studs up.
Yeah.
Just right before half time, Cyrus Christie put in the cross in the second half where Forrest raised on goal. Cyrus Christie looked good. Kyle Jenkinson, once of Arsenal, came on for Forrest to play left back for probably the first time in his career.
Yeah.
In the second half, Luton are going to be so disappointed because they offered nothing against 10 men.
Yeah, they should have. Yeah.
They just thought, game is won, we don't have to do anything, and they just didn't play in the second half.
They want
to
get caught, yeah. No, that was always going to happen. They're lucky they didn't lose, to be honest.
They are. And I mean,
great chance at the end.
Yeah. And they just, I don't know, when you're playing against 10 men, we were always told, you know, make the pitch as big as possible. You know, spread the play side to side.
Yeah.
You know, let their centre backs have the ball. Let, you know, just make the pitch bigger for the team that are down to 10 men. So they'll tire more. But Luton didn't seem to be bothered with that. And I don't know, cost them in the end. We move on to the last game then. Rotherham with a good win. A derby game as well, this. Rotherham-Sheffield Wednesday, of course. Yeah. Rotherham 3-0 winners. Lindsay with 2. Barlisser from the spot. Lee sent off for a professional foul. And again, that was pretty much the end of this one.
What was he doing?
Yeah, it was kind of a ridiculous challenge.
Well, the keeper would have got it. That's what.
Yeah, and you kind of know he's going to be... He knew he was sent off as soon as he did it.
Yeah.
I mean, Rotherham's first win since the opening day. They move up to 17th. Wednesday have lost 3 in a row. And individual mistakes again.
Yeah.
And huge game, like we said. So at the weekend, where they're travelling to Wickham.
Yeah.
Huge match at the bottom of the table already.
But Rotherham are not bad. I don't think they'll get relegated.
Yeah. They move up. I mean, it was a good win too in terms of points, because I think it puts them about 3 points outside of the relegation zone as well, which is. A nice gap. But Wednesday, Wickham at the weekend is going to be a big one for the bottom of the table.
Come on, Wickham.
Yeah, you know, Wickham in that one, they really are on the up. So quickly, we're just going to fly through the best goal from the weekend. Or from the weekend, from the midweek game. Sorry.
I'm going to say Joe for Reading.
Joe for Reading?
Yeah.
I was the exact same, Phil. You read my mind?
Yeah, there wasn't many great ones.
There wasn't many great ones, really. No, there wasn't. I did like Armstrong's second goal in that game as well. So I might give it to him just because a nice, brave header. I think it was same. Was it Burris' second goal where he was absolute... Not Burris' second goal, sorry. Swansea's second goal.
Yeah, Swansea's second one.
Where he was absolutely flattened by the goalkeeper. I knew he would be.
Oh, yeah.
With Palmer's goal. So I'm going to give it to Palmer just because he knew he was going to be as soon as he headed the ball. So just for bravery, best team performance?
Rotherham. I say Rotherham.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Reading 4-2.
Reading 4-2 was great. I'm going to give it to Wickham again, because I just thought they were outstanding again. And so unlucky. I mean, they say that even the manager was talking about the, you know, these decisions that go against you, they even up throughout the course of the season. So Wickham are due a big slice of luck.
They'll get it, lads.
Yeah, the best player?
It's
a tough one.
Ivan Tony for me, lads. I'm telling you, he's
watching
him, like, you know, even the highlights, he just loves having the ball, lads. He's really skilled, you know, he's really, you know, he's deadly in the box. For me, Ivan Tony this week, lads, definitely.
I want to say Woodrow.
Yeah.
Woodrow was good, yeah.
Apparently.
And I'm going to go for Semedo in the middle of the field there.
Love it.
In that game. For Reading, I thought he was outstanding. Yeah. Winning the ball back, setting up two goals. What about the shock of the week?
I'd say it's a Stoke game.
Stoke game?
Yeah, just how poor they were more than anything.
Yeah.
I say Rotherham for me, lads. Obviously, Sheffield Wednesday, they are struggling, but I think that 3-0 was a bit of a shock in the performances they had the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm going to go for the other 3-0, the Barnsley game.
Yeah.
Which I don't think I saw. Well, maybe them winning with the new manager, but not 3-0. They were just so dominant in that game. So, with that, we move ahead. Quick predictions here.
Okay.
For Friday, Coventry home to Reading.
I'm actually going to say Coventry 2-1.
Ah, Phil.
Do you know why I'm going to do it? Because if I say the other team, they lose.
Yeah. I think this could be a draw. I think Coventry, they seem to play well. They seem to play well on Friday Night Football.
Didn't they? Was it like 3-2 against Birmingham?
Yeah, it tends to be exciting when they play. So I'm hoping for a 2-2 draw here.
Our fans will be all over the shop at the accumulators when we're trying to get predictions.
Go with one of us and see what happens.
Sadly, we can't.
Saturday's games, Bristol City home to Norwich.
Norwich. Norwich 2-1.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Bristol City to steal a win here. 2-1. Barnsley home to Watford.
Draw.
A draw?
Yeah.
Barnsley 2-1.
You're going Barnsley 2-1. I think it'll probably be a boring nil all draw for some reason.
That as well.
So if you are doing an accumulator, bank on goals for that one.
Yeah.
If I'm saying it's going to be nil all. Bournemouth home to Derby. Could be a good game.
Bournemouth.
Yeah.
Bournemouth at home.
2-0.
2-0, yeah.
I'm going to. I have a feeling. I don't know why. I have a feeling Rooney come back and everything. I think Derby are going to come up with one of the shocks at the weekend, and I think they're going to win 3-1 away from home.
Jeez. In the case of Rooney coming back, they'll probably lose 3-0.
Yeah. Luton home to Brentford.
Luton, actually. 2-1.
Think Luton win at home?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. I'm going to say Luton 1-0. I think that whole Brentford decline it's in the process.
Yeah. I'm going to go for Tony to finally get his hat-trick in a 3-1 win for Brentford. Middlesbrough home to Forest.
I was going to say it. Yeah, they've drawn too many games. Forest.
It has a draw written all over it, really.
1-1.
Yeah. I'll go for a more boring 0-0. Millwall, Huddersfield.
I actually think Millwall will win.
Yeah.
2-1.
Millwall, good form, I think. 2-0 Millwall.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Preston.
Birmingham.
0-0 draw.
0-0 draw. Preston to not lose at home, finally.
Put your house on it, lads. 2-2.
2-2. Yeah, I think Preston break the home duck here and win 1-0. QPR, Cardiff.
QPR 1-0.
QPR 1-0. I think it's going to be Cardiff away from home for some reason. 2-1.
Yeah. 3-1 Cardiff.
3-1 Cardiff. Stoke home to Rotherham.
Stoke 1-0.
Yeah. 1-0 Stoke. Back to their classic.
Yeah.
Mike and O'Leal has probably whipped the lads around the chain room. So I'd say, Stoke 2-1.
Yeah, I think a 1-0 Stoke here as well. Swansea versus Blackburn.
This is going to be written in goals. I'm going to say 3-3.
3-3,
4-3 Blackburn.
4-3 Blackburn. We're all going for goals.
A lot of goals in that one.
Yeah. I'll go mad altogether. I'll say it's going to be a 4-4 draw.
Yes.
Wickham versus Sheffield Wednesday, finally.
1-0 to Wickham.
1-0 to Wickham, I think the way the luck has been going for Wickham, I think 1-0 Wickham, dodgy penalty in the last minute.
2-1 Wickham.
Yeah.
So there we have it, guys. So we'll be back again, which we'll be recording Sunday, so we'll have it out again for you on Monday with all the weekend's action, and we'll have a few talk points. A few players have gone from Ireland over to England to the Championship in the last week, so we'll talk a little bit about them at the start of the show on the weekend.
Cool.
So thanks, guys. Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much, guys.
Cheers to you.